We got another one. Another moron in the studio.
Man, come on. Be careful.
Well, you're not a moron.
I'm just a moron.
I think you're just a little young. I think a little green, less experience. Mr. Keegan Wilburn.
Hey.
In studio. What's up, man?
How's it going?
It's going well. It's off season now completely for you.
Yes, sir.
You tried to play basketball a little bit, but some injuries on the floor. So
here and there.
Yeah, but now you're full go football, right?
For sure. Track.
The senior year in track.
I've got.
What do you run in track?
Well, actually, I run indoor and outdoor. I have indoor states this weekend.
Oh.
So what are you running? The 60 meter dash and not triple jump. I qualified for triple jump, but God, it's terrible. Long jump.
So triple jump is like you go.
It's terrible because you go the same foot twice and then the other foot.
Oh, that's just, I would get confused.
No, it's awful. Like you think your ACL is going to leave you. It's going to leave your body.
So like, I don't want to hammer on sports too much because the theme of this podcast, I'm wearing the good old Star Wars shirt.
And I'm wearing the boys today.
The Ohio Bobcat shirt. Think what you will on that. For those of you who don't know, Keegan, in the middle of a recruiting process, a lot of interest from Division I schools, great athlete at Nelsonville York, on pace to set a lot of records, you're one of the fastest men that have ever played there. You're very committed. You're dedicated. You love football.
Absolutely.
Till the day you die. And you and I could sit on a podcast, and we could talk about football for hours.
That might be for a later date.
Right? We could do that, though,
mm-hmm.
if we wanted to do that.
For sure.
But the reason I'm wearing Star Wars is because this podcast is meant to be two guys, this one specifically, two guys who are extremely dedicated to something, not talking about that thing for 45 minutes. Because, Keegan, you're so much more than a football player. You're so much more than a guy that carries a football.
Yeah.
You like you have other interests. You like music. You like
fashion.
You enjoy the finer things in life, like stand-up comedy.
Oh, man.
Like, you enjoy laughing. So I really wanted to explore that because I think you're a wonderful personality, and you know, I'm hoping, I'm not saying or anything, I'm just saying, I'm hoping maybe Greenoy, I don't know,
maybe. It might be coming,
maybe, but we're not going to get into that because that's football and we don't want to get into that.
Exactly.
But I just want to know your health. You're feeling good. You're
yeah,
ready to go.
I feel great. I told him earlier that I put on 5 pounds in the past 2 weeks, so I mean that's
good. 5 pounds, right?
Yeah, no. We're staying cut. But
so what's your diet like? How do you keep up that physique, that level of athleticism with
your
diet?
I'm really hungry right now, by the way. Lady B's, is that a move?
It's good. It's good. Lady B's is good.
Every day of the week.
Okay,
for sure.
Every day, Jared.
Whoa.
Well,
calm down with the fried chicken,
look,
buddy.
Hey. I'm just saying it's pretty damn good.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's, I'm from Columbus, so we're
Canes?
Big on Canes up
okay,
there.
Okay, how compared to Canes?
I would give it if Canes is a 10, Lady B's is like an 8.
Yeah, I had Canes at my graduation party catered.
Yeah,
that's nice.
That
it was
stuff is
awesome.
Nice.
Awesome. Phenomenal.
We had so much sauce left over. We can Canes.
I've got sauce in my fridge right now cuz the Super Bowl party I had boys over. The boys, they ate good that night.
No, but Lady B's, good recommendation.
Okay,
for when you're
cool.
hungry. But that diet, do you focus on it? Do you track any calories?
Yeah.
What do you do?
So last year I had it's a friend of my stepdad's. My stepdad's really big into fitness. He wrote me a meal plan, and it was kind of like along the lines of like how much I need to be intaking for to maintain weight or to gain weight, et cetera, you know, to do what I want to do.
And
so,
that's based on your height and activity level.
Yes, and like how much I weigh and all that good stuff. So, I don't eat fast food very much at all. The most fast food I eat is Chick-fil-A and Canes. That's it. I'll get iced coffees from McDonald's a lot, but I don't consider that fast food. That's something we need to talk about. Coffee, man. I am a coffee connoisseur. Like
coffee connoisseur.
Yes.
Explain. I was looking for a way to ask that question, but you're just going to need to explain.
All different sorts, shapes, forms of coffee I've tried, I will give reviews on, and tell you why it's good or why it's bad.
You know how I like my coffee? Black, no room. Don't care what it is. It's just intake.
Okay.
Just for caffeine. Zero calories. It's nice. It's easy.
My grandpa's really dirty, and he would have had a joke for when you asked that question.
So, okay. So, do you like whipped coffee? Do you like iced coffee? Do you like the nitro cold brews? Like, what are you into?
I'm a typical, like, when I go to get my iced coffees, because I'm a big iced coffee guy, either from Tim Hortons or McDonald's, I always get espresso shots because, you know, it's just, it makes it taste better. You get a little more energy, get a little more pep in your step.
So do you only drink coffee in the morning? Do you ever drink in the afternoon?
All hours of the day.
Oh, that's not good, man. Your caffeine drive must be pretty high. What do you like when you don't have coffee? Do you get headaches?
Yep.
That's not good.
I'm addicted.
Yeah, that's tough, man.
I'm addicted.
And everybody's okay with that, right? Like, no, coffee, it's a drug. It can change your chemical balance. You can get addicted to it, and it costs you money. But it's coffee, so it's okay.
Right.
It's all good.
How harmful is it?
Caffeine? I don't know. There's a lot of studies you can read that caffeine can be harmful for the body. Jared, I don't know if you can Google a little something on that. But, like, caffeine's not necessarily the greatest thing in the world for you. I'm not saying you should stop drinking coffee.
Oh, for sure. I won't. I'm sorry.
Especially as an athlete. Especially as a 20, as a 17 to 20 year old to 22, when you'll be in your athletic prime, don't worry about it. Like, the caffeine's more for like heart issues down the line.
Yeah.
You know. So my health teacher in high school, and I apologize to Mr. Walker if I mess this up at all, but he drank so much coffee, like pots a day. We judged the amount of coffee he drank by the amount of pots of coffee.
That's insane.
That's pretty bad.
Insanity. That's insane.
I mean, it was always what he drank. And so he goes to the doctor, and the doctor's like, hey, you got heart issues. You need to stop drinking coffee. And Mr. Walker says, okay, I'll stop today. And the doctor goes, you can't just stop today. That'll put your body into shock. He had so much coffee.
Wow.
So he had to slowly wean himself onto decaf. So he had first day, 90% calf, 10% decaf, 80% calf, 20%, and back it all the way down. Like, it's an actual addiction. Now, like, he wasn't addicted to where, you know, to the levels that heroin it causes addiction, or the opiate crisis,
yeah,
or all those things, which those are different levels of addiction. Those are ruin your life addictions. Right. And caffeine is not nearly to that level. But just the fact that you have to wean yourself off of it,
that's
to
crazy,
not put your
man.
Body into shock. I mean, you just got to be careful sometimes.
Into shock. That's insane.
Imagine not drinking something and being shocked. You got something, Jared?
Yeah. Medical news today says that caffeine is the socially acceptable psychoactive drug. That's how they label it.
Psychoactive?
Yep.
I can agree with that. I can agree with that.
The average American every day drinks 3 cups of coffee, 300 milligrams of caffeine, and that's a moderate amount, which seems like a lot to me.
300 milligrams?
Of straight caffeine, like every
dude,
single
the coffee
day.
Gets stronger too.
Right.
I like dark coffee. I like dark coffee.
Dude, the darker the better. The more caffeine, the better.
Yeah.
And I enjoy it and I like it. But it's just, it's one of those things in society you got to keep an eye on.
Mm-hmm.
You have to understand that just because it's legal, just because you can buy it, does not mean it's good for you.
Yeah, that's true.
How much do you drink a day?
I would say, well, so I drink a cup as soon as I wake up in the morning. I would say it's about 20 ounces.
Okay.
Then I go for an iced coffee after school, typically, which, like, a large from either McDonald's or Tim Hortons is my other option, typically. I'd say about 32 ounces on
okay.
that one.
So we'll go 2.5.
And cup before bed.
So, like
Keegan,
we're looking at 3.5 to 4 a day here.
Yes, I said a cup before bed.
How do you sleep?
Man, I got to get my cod in.
What?
I'm a big gamer.
Wait, so you...
I got the thumbs.
Then that's not before bed. That's before Call of Duty.
Oh, well, I
if
mean...
If you say Call of Duty... You got to put in work on the sticks.
This is,
yes.
This is what you, this is what I picture when I hear Keegan Wilburn drinks coffee before bed. I see you walking in. You, like, touch your NY poster or whatever you got on your wall. I haven't been here. Right? You think about Oregon for a second. Oh. Then you pop open a fresh coffee, chug it, and then lay down and go to sleep. If you do that, you're an animal.
I've done that before.
Like, you're an animal.
I've done that
Wait,
before.
Wait, have you drank coffee while in bed getting ready to fall asleep?
Yes.
That's insanity.
Wow.
I did that earlier this week. I did it earlier this week.
Your body must be breaking down caffeine at different levels than other people are.
I mean, it very well could be, but, like, I would say...
How many calories do you take in a day?
About 5,000.
Oh, my God.
5,000.
Yeah.
If I took in 5,000 calories a day starting now, by this time next week, they'd be like, "Who's hosting this podcast?"
Man, hey, what's the recommended amount to like maintain body weight?
For an average American, it's like 2,000 is okay. What they say is the daily limit. And then if you go average like male, it starts to sneak up to 2.5, 2.4,
right.
Where average activity level. And then athletes, they're obviously much higher.
Different
and then,
breed.
And the more your exercise, the more intense your workouts are. Also, the more muscle mass you have, right, it affects your metabolism.
Yeah, I mean, your water weight and your, like I take in a decent amount of, like, creatine and amino acids, which if you've taken Miss Kanjimi's biology class, you will get it drilled in your head that it is building blocks of protein. So taking a lot of amino acids and a lot of creatine, you gotta have that water weight on you. You got to be able to intake a lot of liquids.
Break it down. So how do you recover after workouts? Is it just kind of?
I chill out. Like sometimes I don't know. It depends.
Ice
like,
heat? Do you do heating
yeah,
pads?
Yeah. Compression boots have been. It's like a new thing.
Have you heard of cryo?
Yes, I do cryotherapy.
Oh, you do cryotherapy? Yeah. Where do you do cryotherapy at?
They actually have a new chamber in Nelsonville.
Nelsonville got a cryotherapy chamber.
Jeremy Schultz, he owns the therapy place. He actually has a therapy place here in Athens as well.
If there's cryotherapy in Athens?
No. You got to go to Nelsonville to get the goods. But hey, man, it's a great place.
Athens is supposed to have everything. Like,
it has a lot, but it doesn't have cryotherapy.
It's true. So, like, how long do you go into the cryotherapy? Because I hear like 3 minutes is the max before you. So how long do you go in?
Sometimes you go like 3 minutes. There's also a place in Columbus I go to. It's called Chill. And it's 3 minutes there as well.
So explain for people that might not know what it is. What is cryotherapy?
Okay, so you walk into this like.
And explain what it does for you.
I'm going to call it a chamber because that's really what it is. And close the door, take off your robe. You're down like your underwear. They put gloves on you and then like slippers. And is it liquid nitrogen? I'm not 100% sure.
Go ahead and Google that.
I'm pretty sure it's liquid nitrogen that comes up through, and it's like obviously like gas form once it gets in the air, and it cools your body down. It's like an ice bath, essentially, without it being an ice bath, and it brings the blood to the surface of your skin and starts to recover. That's the science behind it. I'm not sure how effective it is. I feel great afterwards.
Like, I kind of am doing it in a small way. Like, I'll start my showers, mm-hmm. especially after workouts, ice cold.
Mm-hmm.
And I do it just for as long as I can take it. So, like, a minute and a half, and then I pop the warm water on.
Yeah.
To finish my – because I can't – I have to sit still.
It's terrible.
Because I never did ice baths.
I hate ice baths. I don't –
I can't. It's
I know,
like,
I'm going to have to do it when I get in college, though. It sucks.
Oh, no, but it's against every instinct in your body to sit your – naked self in a tub of ice, like every
or cold
instinct.
Water.
It's your whole body's like, don't do this, don't
no.
do this, dude. This is how
get
you
out.
Die.
Go,
get out.
Go, go, go.
Get out of it. So I never was able to do them, but I'm taking it as a mental challenge for myself to get in that shower, and I just kind of like yell at myself,
yeah.
quietly because I don't want my roommates to know that this is happening. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, come on, man, are you serious? You can't.
You got this.
Cold water.
Let's go.
And then I step underneath it. I'm like. Oh, it's cold.
Let's go.
And then you got to just man it up. But then eventually you get used to it. And I actually was able to stand under there. I was just locked in that day. One of those days you're just locked in. And I stood under it like a man.
Oh, I like
for a solid
it.
Five, 7 minutes. I sort of washed my body with the cold water. I'm like, this is next level.
Oh, let's go.
Then the next day I'm like, okay, I'll do it again. And I couldn't even stand under it for 15 seconds.
See, man, there's those days. I've been on a kick recently where I've been like, I mean, obviously, I'm thinking about next year, my football season. That's kind of like, I mean, my head kind of runs through that a lot. But it's kind of just like, I got to be intense all the time. I can't slack off in life. I just got to be intense. I always got to be full of energy. And I feel like that's kind of like what you got to do to succeed. Feel like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, exactly.
So, I mean,
passion.
Everything I'm doing, man, I'm like trying to just be intense. My workouts, writing with a pencil in class, when I'm talking, all of it. I'm just trying to be intense. Exactly. I'm like, oh, let's go.
Yeah, get it.
But,
and it's just, I think you have a very unique understanding for somebody your age about what it takes to be successful. The mentality
yeah,
of it.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's credited a lot to my parents.
No, I know. But that's still you. Just because knowledge was passed to you doesn't mean it's not your knowledge.
Fair like, enough.
You can credit who you got the knowledge from. But if I go read something on Google, and I learn it, and I tell other people, I know that. Just
That's
because
true.
Google taught it to me doesn't mean I can't take credit for knowing it.
Yeah,
right?
Good point.
And so just because your parents taught you some values doesn't mean that you're not a guy that understands what it takes to be successful, because you are, at least for somebody your age. There's a lot that you obviously have to learn, and that's just all going to come from experience.
I love learning. It's maybe not math. I'm not a big fan of math, but I love learning just like things that are going to help me further myself in certain situations. You know, like I can sit and listen to TED Talks for hours. That's like a little hidden thing about me. I listen to a lot of TED Talks, and they're very beneficial, especially when you get into like the people that
are. Do you get any TED Talks that stand out?
A lot of the ones I've like watched in class. I can't remember who it is. It's a psychologist, but he. I don't know. It was one I found. It's been a while ago, but he was a psychologist, not sociologist. God, he was a psychologist, and he was talking kind of like about that mindset thing, like what it takes to, you know, what achieve your goals and to do better just as a person in general. And one of his things, it wasn't as talked about as I would like it to be, but the intensity, kind of just like being passionate, like you said,
and goals, like. There's dreams and then there's goals. And I heard Dr. Phil talk about this the other day.
He was on
Joe Rogan's podcast.
Joe Rogan, wow. Yeah, great guy. Great guy. We're going to get into this.
And the thing about listening to Dr. Phil there was just talking about how people escape depression, or how people escape their life. And there's a difference between a dream and a goal. A dream you can sit and think about. A goal is actionable, measurable, and you're taking steps every day to achieve that goal. And people would... A realization I've come to, and this is a weird epiphany, is that we're judging life in the wrong way. We judge life by the gravity of moments, by conference championships, by proms, by homecomings, these large seminal moments. But Jared and Keegan, I have a question for you. How long is homecoming?
2 hours at best.
2 hours, right?
Yeah.
And this podcast is an hour. So two of these podcasts has the exact same amount of time in life as that homecoming.
Exactly.
So although that homecoming is a more important moment, this podcast or everything you do, or even just walking around or going to football practice, that moment is equal in time. So you might as well enjoy it as much. You might as well take as much passion as you can into
it. Exactly. Be intense.
Because it is just, you can only live a moment at a time. Time will move with or without you. I heard a very famous quote. Well, it's not very famous, but I heard a very excellent quote. The billionaire and the beggar have one thing in common. They both have 24 hours in a day. We all have the same time. We all have the same amount of seconds. We all have the same amount of moments.
It's
how you take advantage of it. And I'm not saying that just because you haven't made it in life that you're a failure or you did something wrong. Bad luck happens. I get that.
It does.
But I'm just saying that your self-enjoyment of life, you know, taking out a chemical imbalance or something that might be seriously wrong with you, and those are all those things. But for the majority of people in life, they must start to appreciate those moments, because we're getting into this Instagram culture. We're getting into this Twitter culture.
I was just about to get into that.
It's about the
likes.
That's
crazy.
It's about the likes. Yeah. It's about the moments. Oh, I got to go this to get many likes. And I was talking to you about this a few months ago.
I'm going to pull up a Drake lyric real quick because he spits. Keep going.
And it's just about, we're focused so much on these one moments that we value them so highly that we're starting to depreciate what matters in your day-to-day, which is every small moment, which is every time that you just see somebody and laugh or say hi to a friend or go get coffee or anything. Those moments are equal in time as the homecoming, as the prom. Those moments are equal in time as your graduation. So you got to value them. And it's not that they're more, or it's not that they're just as important, and it's not that you'll remember them, but man, you're going to be really unhappy if you keep waiting for those big moments, because especially as we start to escape youth, the big moments become farther and farther apart.
Yeah, they do.
They come farther and farther apart. And that's why you see people from this cell phone generation, they're starting to get older, and they don't have a dream. They don't have a goal. They don't have a day-to-day. Man, they don't have something to push and motivates them.
Man, it just annoys me to walk through. Like, I take college classes, and I've had a lot of people tell me, like, man, you're moving too fast. Enjoy yourself. And I'm like, I'm trying to gather all the information. Like I said, I like to learn. So I don't like to necessarily just make impulsive decisions and say, you know what? Yeah, that person said it. Let's go with that. So, you know, hearing a lot of these people say, like, hey, Keegan, you know, you might want to slow down a little bit. Like, there's things I do to try to better myself from the crowd. You know, like going to, like, Hawking College, right? It's not necessarily prestigious much. But, I mean, it's doing something better for me. It's getting me out of my comfort zone as far as my setting. And it's getting me into, like, a better situation. Like, I don't have to look at all these kids around me, and I'm not saying I'm better than all the kids I go to high school with whatsoever, but like, it gets me out of the setting where all the kids are like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what I'm going to do after my senior year.
And there's
like
a lot of kids that are stuck in that, and that's the fault of the education system.
It very well could be.
And I think it's sad to see. And we need more people like you, and we need more people like Joe Burrow, especially in this area of the state, to start to
Man,
really...
don't put me in the sentence with that, dude. He's a legend.
Okay, you're not in the same sentence as Joe Burrow yet.
No, I'm not saying I am whatsoever. No, I said take me out of it.
I said the sentence, Keegan. I'll own it, okay? All right. Just need more people that are out there going for something.
Yeah.
Dreaming. Go get it.
Goaling.
Goals. And we need to also stop putting pressure on people to make their goals these amazing accomplishments, being a D1 athlete, being a famous broadcaster, or anything like that.
I tweeted it today. Like, I said, I absolutely love it. I fall in love with the kids from our area getting recruited. I absolutely love it. Now, I also added at the end of that tweet, like, I'm not going to let you be better than me. That be known.
Exactly.
But, I mean, that is great. I don't care what level ball you're playing at, NAIA, D3, D2, D1. I love it. I think it is wonderful. And to see that, you know, maybe it's just because I'm getting older, but I know like a couple years ago, I wasn't seeing kids from the area go play ball other places. Easton Wolf from Waverly, he's probably the best kid I played against all year. He's going to play D1 Southern Illinois. Like, that is awesome for me to see because he burnt me. I'll show you the play on film. He absolutely roasted me.
Which is hard to do.
And yeah, I mean, maybe. But I mean, like,
you run a 4.5. You keep being humble. I'll hype you up. Okay. That's how we'll do this. All right. So it's just one of those things that I just want to kind of emphasize to people. And it's just an epiphany that I've kind of come to. And you mentioned the slow down. There will be a time for you to slow down.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you. And when that time comes, you're going to freak out for just a second. And then you're going to realize that there's nothing you can do but slow down.
Yeah.
And then you have to enjoy those moments that you're given when it is time to slow down, when you've landed somewhere or you have something and you realize that there isn't something to do today.
I mean, I think about it every day. I think about what's coming.
Yeah. Like, so then you start to chase other things, happiness, personal ambition, right? You start to figure out your own life. You start to introspect. Okay, how do my emotions work? Why? How do I react to certain situations?
That's crazy.
How do I become a better person?
Yeah.
Like, that's what slowing down is. But right now, don't slow down, dude. You got more energy than you've ever had in your life. Why on earth would you slow down? Keep going. Keep grinding. Keep working out.
Get That's up what I'm early. Saying, man. I don't Do understand how the people my age don't at least put effort forth in trying to.
But they don't even need to put what you're doing, because what you're doing trying to do is a very hard goal to accomplish. But my thing is that people need to find something that gets them up in the morning outside of drugs, alcohol,
yeah,
and the opposite sex. Because right now, I would say a vast majority of our society, their day-to-day is driven by drugs, alcohol, and the opposite sex.
I would say that is probably correct.
And like, those three things can be entertaining, they can be valuable, they can lead to a great time. And there's a lot of people that can do those three things and live productive lives. But if your life is just about that,
nah, man,
it's just going to – it's poison.
That's like you.
If that's the only thing driving you, you know, like – exactly what you're saying. Like, if the only thing that's getting you out of bed in the morning is like, oh, I get to go get high tonight, or like, I get to go get drunk,
right,
or like get with this
right
girl, like, you know, like, what are you even living for at that point?
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Applaud. Yes.
And
yes,
it's like, it's
I love
like
it.
You see guys out here like Keegan, like, and even you, Lucas, like, you're, I can see both of you like going huge places, and like, you guys are.
I love how passionate this dude is. That's why he's one of my favorite people.
That's why I agreed to like produce his podcast and stuff, because he's going places and he's driven by like so much more than that. You know, like the three of us even right in this room are you know, going bigger places than just waking up to have a good time that night.
Right.
But there's people out here watching this right now and going, guys, it's easy for you to be passionate about what you do because it's cool. It's awesome. I wish I could do
right
what you're doing.
Nah. But it's not cool waking up in the morning not being able to walk.
Exactly.
That's pretty sweet.
No, I
love
I,
it.
I get that. And explaining that to people that you work for what you have is different. But I'm telling you, everybody out there, you're good at something. You might be insurance sales, but find what you're good at.
Hey, shout outs to Dads. He's
an insurance
guy.
Salesman.
Yeah.
So he's literally the devil. I heard that joke. I heard that. That's from a Hot Tub Time Machine. I watched that movie
last night.
I watched that last week.
You did?
Yeah, I did.
It's a 2010 movie. It's kind of weird we both watched
it's
that
crazy,
movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, what are you guys doing, man?
My friends and I always have, on Mondays, we watch movies together because, you know, it's like Movie Monday.
Hey.
And we were just like scrolling through Amazon.
They always come up with like days of the week to celebrate things.
Dude, bro, we got all that stuff. We got every day of the week set down. But like
Movie Monday, Taco Tuesday.
Right. Hey, Wing Wednesday,
buggy
bro,
is not
come
nice
on.
To me. I'm not going to.
Hey, Keegan, Pigskin down the street when you're on campus in a couple years. $5 pound
age,
of wings.
Keegan, and of age.
No, hey, no, I'm talking about dinner.
You can go get food right now from Pigskin.
Yeah, no, I'm saying Wednesdays, $5 pound of wings. Always
Dang.
Remember that.
Yeah, I want to do a
shout
podcast.
Shout out to Pigskin on the podcast right now.
I want to do a podcast, and this is a message to Sam Smathers, because I know he makes hot chili. I want to get all the hottest foods in Athens.
Mm-hmm.
And shouts to Hot Ones, which is an interview show. They kind of gave me a similar idea to this. I'm not going to do it every episode, so I'm just kind of taking their idea and taking a local flavor to
it. Yeah, I got you.
I want Sam to make his hottest chili that he can make, and then I want to go get the hottest foods in Athens. I want to get a big gallon of milk, and I want to try them all.
Just go in. Just absolutely
And I want people to watch me. I want people to watch me for 45 minutes cry and sweat.
Bro, we'll make a whole-ass competition out of it. The three of us right here, we'll just who lasts the longest before tapping.
Have you met Sam Smathers?
I don't know who he is off the top of my head.
So he's a... the dog pound across the street
yeah.
of the Athens High School football field. That's his place.
Okay.
So he makes this legendary chili. He's an awesome guy. He definitely respects your game. Whenever we talk about you, he talks very highly of you just from
good
what
he's
seen on tape.
Good guy.
He is a good guy. He's a very great guy. He actually was the youth coach of Joe Burrow. So Joey's always in that garage.
That's cool.
Like, he's always in there. So I really want to do that. I haven't even asked him about it, but I just put the idea out there. But we mentioned movies, and we mentioned comedy, and this is something I want to get into.
All right.
Who's your favorite stand-up comedian, man?
That's tough.
And why do you enjoy stand-up?
Stand-up is great because it is purely based off of emotion. You are indulging yourself in, like, you turn on a stand-up comedian, you know you're going to laugh, and that is the purpose of you watching it.
Yeah.
It's awesome. There's nothing like it because... You don't go to a football game and expect, oh, yeah, I'm going to laugh a lot tonight.
Or this is even – you're not even guaranteed for a great game. You don't know what you're ready for. But I like stand-up because of this, because I enjoy their very unique perspectives on different
things. That's another
things.
Thing. Like, Joe Rogan is awesome. I love Joe Rogan. But there's also people like Chris D'Elia. Do you know who that is?
Yes.
He's, like, kind of more of a brash, like, different type of comedy. And they, like, they'll talk about maybe similar things but have different perspectives, yeah. like you said.
And just a unique take on something new.
For sure.
And a way to look at something. And just a different observation. And they find a way to make it funny. And it's awesome. Like... And they're also mostly delinquents. Like, they don't.
That's
they're
true.
They're all like delinquents.
Yeah.
They don't have their life together most of the time.
Bill Burr.
Right. And they I don't know. It's just something about them is just so awesome to watch. And it's an art form that I would like to explore. I don't think I'd be any good at it. But it just seems like a load of fun to go up there and tell a group of people a bunch of weird observations you made throughout the day, make a joke about it, and try to get some people to laugh. It sounds like a great, I mean, genuinely great time. What's really annoying me, though, is the people that are trying to ruin stand-up by taking, like, quotes from people that are doing jokes on stage
and
trying to formulate into them into offensive. There will be offensive things said on stage at stand-up comedy. You will be offended. It is meant to challenge
that's
your
the point
view
of
the
it,
world.
Right.
That's the whole point of it.
Yeah, that's why
now,
you're
obviously,
watching it.
There are lines that can be crossed, but those lines are much farther down the road than it would be on this podcast, right? And that's the point. You're supposed to laugh. You're supposed to be challenged. You're supposed to think. They're not meaning it in that way. And people who take life so damn serious that they can't sit in an audience and laugh at themselves or anything.
Right, like, and I think that's the big thing it comes down to is can you laugh at yourself? I think that's, like, when people are really offended at comedy, like, you gotta learn to make a joke out of yourself. Like, you gotta find your flaws.
I think I am hilarious.
Right, you gotta find your flaws.
I
you
am
gotta
funny.
Make fun of them. You gotta, that's how comedians...
Yeah, they
get
find
started is they find flaws in other people in themselves and they just poke
and
fun at
them.
And
most of them find it in themselves. And that gets that gets kind of the darker side of stand-up comedy. The reason that a lot of depression exists is because depressed people are more like critical of themselves. So it's an art form that fits that sad mental state of affairs. Mm-hmm. Like Robin Williams has dealt with it. And when you're at such an emotional high, we talked about the weight of moments. You're such an emotional high, you're getting everybody to laugh, everybody loves you, then you go off stage and it just falls off a cliff. I couldn't imagine that day to day, along with dealing with some depression that you live with. I mean, that's so tough. And it's so tough to watch some of those guys and knowing that they're dealing with that.
For sure.
But my favorite stand-up comedian is Bill Burr. Just because, like, I imagine, like, I wish he was my uncle just screaming about things.
He reminds me of a trash can that has a mouth. Because, like, you know the trash can is seen, or a dumpster. You know the dumpster's seen so much, man, in their life. They're just, like, they're so pissed off at everything. Yeah. And they're so, like, just grumpy. But they can have fun and make a joke out of it. And it's like, yeah, we'll get them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Have you listened to his podcast, Bill Burr?
No, I have not. But I have listened to the podcast with Joe Rogan and him.
And Bill Burr. I like Joe Rogan's a little more because Joe Rogan's a little more structured. He's a better interviewer. He seems more prepared.
Yeah.
But I love Bill's style. Bill just comes on and he won't even read the mailbag before he goes through them. So he'll start reading and he'll like be halfway through and he's like, oh God, we're in for one here, folks. Like, and it's hilarious, but it also annoys me as a broadcaster because I'm like, Bill, just
go for it, buddy.
Write
Come
down
on.
Three
You're good.
Things and let's keep the timing going because you start to ramble.
Right.
You know, and it's just a small pet peeve. But I love Bill Burr so much that I'll listen to the clips from his podcast and I think they're hilarious. Do you have any stand up jokes that stand out to you, Keegan? Like one that you just off the top of your head, what's the first stand up joke you're thinking of right now?
Oh man, I can't talk about it on here. It's Aziz Ansari.
Okay, so you're thinking of Aziz.
He's talking about how he was a really cute little kid and how child molesters should have liked him. And that's all the further I'm going to go.
That's going to challenge. Like, that shouldn't be said on this podcast in terms of, like, you don't want to go into the joke.
No.
But that premise on its surface is horrifying.
Oh, it's terrible.
It's horrible.
It's absolutely.
But what you do when you enter a stand-up comedy arena is you drop those walls that you put up in your everyday that should be there. And that's the whole point. It's a moment of levity. It's a moment of brevity. It's a moment of looking at something differently and laughing and understanding that the world's not all that serious and you need to undo your wedgie, people, and just have a laugh.
That's a good way to put it, man.
Have a laugh.
I don't know if I told... I think I was telling you about it, Lucas, one time. I found this new show on Comedy Central. They've got like all their episodes on YouTube called This Is Not Happening. Have you guys heard of it?
No.
I have heard of this. I've seen it, but I've never watched it. What's it about?
It is hilarious. So it's literally just comedians going on stage telling true stories about them. That like it's like a 10-15 minute story that's hilarious.
I would love that.
Yes.
Or and Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee is a show similar to that.
It is. It's very similar to that. But it's like everybody's on. Joe Rogan's been on it like 3 or 4
Ooh,
times.
I've seen Ari Shaffir.
Ari Shaffir is the host.
A couple of those. Yeah.
Right.
I've seen some clips from that show. Have you seen
It's funny.
This Is America with
I've not.
This Is America.
Oh, look that up. Look up This Is America.
Okay.
It's the guy from Borat. I'm forgetting his name. Anyway, he's a style of actor that's considered a clown, like a jester. So it's that old style.
Yeah.
But he's morphed it into disguising himself as characters. And then he's so convincing in this role, this outlandish role, that he convinces these people to do these wild things. So what he's done is he pretended to be Israeli. He pretended to be in the Israeli army, right? And he was trying to combat school shootings in the United States. And so what he does is he introduces this program called Kinder Guardians, which is arming kindergartners.
Oh, no.
Wow.
Which is an insane, insane idea on the surface. Guardian.
It's got a ring
and
to it.
And he got a U.S. congressman to read and promote the Kinder Guardians program off the teleprompter. He convinced them to do this, these right-wing NRA congressmen.
Wow.
Because he was so well disguised as an Israeli, and the right-wingers are worried about they don't want to offend the NRA or the Israelis, and he got this gun advocate. Now, he wasn't a congressman. He's just a gun advocate, so it's not as bad. But he got him to do this ad where it was a Kinder Guardians training video. And
I'm asleep.
It is one
God.
Of the... you're so, like, in shock watching the video, you want to laugh, and you're like, oh my Lord, this guy actually thinks this. He's literally, he's like, there. He's singing a song. He's like, aim, he says, aim for the head, not the stomach or the toes. Like, trying to teach kids how to point a gun. I seriously recommend it. It's called This Is America.
I looked up, is it Who Is America?
Who Is America?
Who Is America?
Who Is America? My apologies. Who Is America? With, what's his name?
His name is Sacha Baron.
Sacha Baron Cohen. Amazing actor. He's done Borat. He's done Bruno, where he disguises himself as these characters, goes out in real society and tricks people. He got this guy. He played the same Israeli character. And he got this state congressman who is trying to promote a burqa ban, like banning burqas. And he convinced this guy to...
I mean, people are ignorant. He convinced this guy. They don't want
to
learn.
Keegan, he convinced this guy that the best way to defend himself against terrorists was to turn them gay or to think that they're going to turn them gay. And the best way to do that was to pull the man. He told the man to pull his pants down and try to and point his bare ass at the terrorist and try to back him down and, like, put his butt on him. It's what he tried to do. And, like, he actually got this guy to practice.
No way.
And so this guy has his pants down to his ankles. He's bent over at the waist. He's, like, shaking his butt. And he's like, America, drop that weapon. I will turn you gay. And he's got this guy to do it. And the guy resigned 48 hours later because he should. Because, and then these guys call, they scream foul about this. Like, oh, I was tricked. I was lied to. Don't ever do anything that stupid, dude. And that won't happen.
Right. Wow. You shouldn't have fallen for it anyways. That's on you. Somebody like, that's 100% on you.
Israeli officer or not, he actually got them because, like, Sacha Baron Cohen's like, see, what we don't know is when they have a full-length burqa on, we don't know if it's a regular female or a terrorist. And he's doing this in an accent and over the top. And he's like, so what we do is we take a selfie stick.
It's on the screen right now.
We pretend to be a Chinese person, and we look away, we put the selfie stick underneath the burqa and take a picture. So he got this congressman to go in a fake Chinese accent, and he did a horrible job, and just started saying random Chinese words and a lot of Japanese words. So like this really racist thing going on, and got this state representative to take a picture with a selfie stick underneath a burqa. And then he looked at the picture, and Sacha Baron Cohen, like, it's funny because on the screen, it's just like the genitalia of the male, and like it's blurred out on the screen. He goes, see, it's a terrorist. And the guy was like, oh, that's creative. Like, he really believed that that's how they combated terrorism in Israel.
Wow, that's terrible.
And
look how innovative this is. We are going to take pictures of dudes under burqas.
It's horrible.
Oh God, man.
But the thing is, like, there's a lot of people that represent us like that.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm
not gonna
on
share
the screen
my political
right now
views on here.
On YouTube, like, you can find a bunch of his videos over here. If you pay for YouTube, you can get the first season, and it's on Showtime.
Yeah, but the clips are enough, people. Like, the clips are enough.
Yeah, there are a lot of clips on YouTube.
Just watch those couple 5 minutes clips. He's done a lot of them. Moving on from that, and we don't need to get into politics. And I don't think it needs to be a right or left issue. Go watch those videos. If you're the most right-wing conservative guy out there, you will watch those videos and go, yeah, that's a little ridiculous. Because it's just...
I don't know, man.
It's just the truth.
There's some crazy people on both sides that wouldn't want to believe either way. You know what I'm saying?
No, I know. But I think that we're kind of getting warped, Keegan, into thinking that those fringes make up way more people than we think.
Yo, like, this whole, like, past couple of years, man, have, like, really changed the dynamics of politics in general. Like, I went out to California for a visit. I went and visited San Diego State, and we sat down at this pizza place that was in San Diego, and it was my dad, my stepsister, and I, and sat down next to these girls, like, they were in high school, and we started talking to them or whatever, and we were, like, somehow got on the topic of politics, and the one girl was, I believe, like, Indian, like, that was her descent, like, from India, not, like, Native American,
you
know what I'm saying, and she was, like, hardcore feminist. Like, I mean, we all talked about it. It was just, like, open conversation. We ended up sitting there talking, like, 2 hours. And my dad somehow popped the question, like, are you guys Republican or Democrat? And the girl was like, yeah, I'm Republican. I'm like, hold up, what? Hold up. No. Say that one more time.
See, but we have these expectations for how people should be.
Right? Exactly. Now,
that's true.
It's a lot different out there. Like, the stigma of being Republican is not associated with, like, I'm going to say, like, Donald Trump. That's what it is associated with here, because that's what everybody has. They've jumped on that bandwagon. Yeah. They've said, you know.
And they think the liberals are the crazy lefty,
exactly,
colored hair, yeah, protesting everything, which is just not true. People aren't like that. And I've got a great example for this. I was at Pittsburgh. I was in Pittsburgh, near the University of Pittsburgh. And I was kind of going through some stuff. So I wanted to just turn my phone off for 3 days, hang out with my best buddy, Max, because I had some time to do it over Christmas break. And so I go to clear my mind, and we go to this. It's this like bar / restaurant.
Mm-hmm. Always has the best food at those type of places.
And my memory is just horrible today, Jared. I don't even remember what this restaurant's called, but it's a great little restaurant.
It's quite all right.
And they kind of, it's good. It's Pittsburgh. It's local.
Yeah.
And so we go sit down, and this guy is two seats to my left, and you know, he's like probably eight beers in. Like he's pretty drunk, and. Max and I are sober, and we're just trying to eat, have a good time. We were walking around town, and he turns and starts talking to us. Max starts conversation, and then he asks, "So did you guys vote for Hillary?" And Max didn't answer the question.
Just out of the blue?
Just out of the blue. All right. I go, yeah. And he, like, you could tell he judged me. So then I kept talking to the guy. And you know what we have in common? We're both hunters. He's got family in Germany. I also have family in Germany. So we had a whole hour conversation. And by the end of the conversation, he realized that just because I voted for Hillary Clinton in the last election, that was such a small part of who I am. And
right,
that we can agree on so much more than you think. And we need to stop playing teams, because Keegan, as much as we love sports, sports has infected our American culture, because everything is win, lose, this team, that team.
Right, that's
team
true.
Red, team blue. Do you win? Do you lose? Are you at the 20-yard line? Or are you in the end zone? We got to stop that talk, because politics and ideas and laws are just so much more complex than Team Red and Team Blue. And we need to stop that. We need to change that idea and understand that our political spectrum is so much more diverse. It's so much more thoughtful.
I agree. And that's why I've never liked political parties, because I know plenty of people who voted for Hillary and hate Hillary. And I know plenty of people who voted for Trump hate Trump. So there's two political parties doesn't represent who we are as America.
Right.
Like you said, we're so diverse in our ideas. Like, mm-hmm, two just doesn't get it done.
I mean, I can't say I do it anymore as much, but I used to, like, hey, you voted for Trump? Oh man, you're like,
well,
totally
you're young too, dude. When I
set
was,
it off,
when,
like,
I was your age, I was actively battling family members about my religious beliefs. So my family was religious, and you know, I'm an agnostic atheist, and I used to be a militant atheist, as in I would fight against the ideas actively, post memes, make fun of them, right? Which, that's not okay. That's, you don't want to insult people's ideas.
That's
like
true.
Because that, right? They don't listen to you.
Exactly. Nobody, nothing's ever going
to
get done from
that's
insulting
exactly what
other people's
ideas.
You
even
know?
If, like, it's the most ridiculous,
right,
nonsensical idea you've ever heard.
Like, let's,
right,
sit down and talk about
that's
this.
That's totally bullshit. Like, yeah, nobody's going to be like, oh yeah, you're right, that is bullshit, I'm going to change my opinion, thank you for telling me.
Right.
You know?
It's just one of those things that you gotta just listen and understand why they think that. Even if it's the
learning,
most nonsensical idea. If somebody comes to you and says, I think that there's a spaghetti monster sitting right there. It's invisible. You can't see it, but prove to me it's not there. You've got to understand why they think that. And then you can maybe break down their argument, and maybe you can change their mind. But what we do is we yell at people. We tell them they're stupid. We tell them they're uneducated. Then they get mad, and their point of view, their political stance that they have not researched, that they know nothing about, becomes a part of their identity, because
right,
it's their team they play for, man.
Yeah.
Because it's the team they play for. And that's just kind of sad.
That kind of gets me, like, where I kind of want to talk about music. Like, there's a lot of artists now that I believe, like, put it into their music that, you know, some things are different than what it is on the surface. Kind of like, I mean, I'm a big J. Cole fan. J. Cole here recently has done a lot of, like, talking about real stuff, saying, you know, like, I'm trying to think of something off the top of my head, kind of like, you know, expressing the political ideas that, you know, you can talk about that type of stuff. It's not just under the surface. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It, like, and rap is such a, I think it's one of those things that's just so integral in terms of communication and language, and it's just beautiful to me a lot of the times, especially J. Cole. Like J. Cole's song 1985, you've heard that?
Oh, yeah.
It's like a freestyle ballad against the modern rapper,
right,
or what they value in life. It's beautiful. It's a deep understanding of life. And rappers are so discriminated against.
Mm-hmm.
They're some of the smartest people on planet Earth. You ever hear Lil Wayne manipulate language? All those people criticizing him have no chance to ever replicate.
Mansion with Wisconsin. Who is that? Is that
Lil Wayne is unbelievable. T-Pain? Real G's move in silence like lasagna, bro, will kill me every time. I hear it every fucking time, bro. I swear.
Bar. And then we do, and then let's see, my favorite Lil Wayne. I got a $1 billion smile. I sell myself short if I grin. Like, that's just, it's genius.
It is.
He's coming up with that stuff. It's just, it's moving. It's
you know who awesome. Else I think is, when we talk about bar for bar, who is lyrically some of
let's
the best.
Let's get into it. I'm ready.
And by the way, I wanna throw in really quick. Lucas's camera went down. I'm working on getting it back up. So just bear with us there if you can't see him.
Aww.
We'll get it back up. You can see his beautiful face.
I'm sure
in a sec.
Grandma still loves you.
But bar for bar, I think we got to give 2 Chainz some credit out here. He is something else. And look, you wouldn't.
He's like J.R. Smith of the rap world.
Right.
If he gets hot, he's good. But
yeah.
Right. I agree. He's on. He's on. Like, I mean, obviously, everybody loves the song 4 a.m. Like, you can't put that on.
Yeah,
and just,
but it's produced so well. That
oh,
it's,
I
like,
agree.
Hard
it's it's phenomenal, but he has some bars. I don't know if you guys have listened to the album Collar Groove with Lil Wayne.
I have.
Like, everything on that is just gross. I can't believe that album didn't get more hype.
The greatest bar for bar rapper is Eminem.
It's just easy.
Yeah,
oh no,
he's
no debate.
Lyrically,
no debate.
This is my hot take, and I want to hear what you think about this.
Okay.
My hot take is that the number one manipulator of the English language of all time was William Shakespeare. He invented the most words. The way he was able to manipulate the iambic pentameter. If you break down a Shakespeare speech or soliloquy and you draw the connections from word to word to meaning, it's got double, triple, quadruple meanings. The only other person I've ever seen be able to manipulate the English language like that is Eminem.
I agree. I 100% agree with
and
you.
And I say that and people go, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, telling you, just go to his lyrics and start to break it down like a Shakespeare soliloquy.
It's unbelievable.
And you, the connections you find on your 25th listen.
That's true.
The connections you find is incredible. And the fact that he can do it freestyle. He can do it.
I was about
speed.
To say
he
that.
He can do it slow.
That's crazy.
I was
man.
About to see. I've seen him freestyle verses that go like 90 seconds. Every word rhymes with another word.
Yeah. Have you seen
within
his ciphers?
Yeah, they're unbelievable.
He did a 6.5 minute cipher, and it's better rapping than 95% of rappers out can.
Man, I 100% agree. I agree.
I hate when people. Man, I got a lot of friends my age that think they know music. They think they know music. I've been listening to, like, different stuff since I was born. Like, my dad raised me listening to, like, 80s hairband rock. Then, like, you know, I started hanging out with, like, different people. I started listening to rap. All right, what's rap sound like in the 90s when it came around? What's early 2000s rap sound like? What does R&B and soul sound like when it first came around? What does 70s rock sound like? You know, I like to listen to a lot of stuff. So, getting different, you know, branches of music here and there. I don't like when people say, oh yeah, like I'm gonna use the term trap music. I don't like when people say like a trap artist is better than like an Eminem. Like Eminem is the GOAT.
I mean, I don't think they can compare.
Yeah, but like,
and I'm not gonna insult him and say that.
You're gonna have first, people that would say that if you were gonna talk
listen,
about music.
Like Fetty Wap's beats are probably better than all of Eminem's songs. But that doesn't mean Fetty Wap's a better rapper.
That's true.
Right? Trap Queen.
Fetty Wap.
Trap Queen bumps.
Oh, yeah.
But the 10th best song on Eminem's worst album is better rapping than Trap Queen.
That's true.
I agree. And I my friend Sebastian, my best friend in the world, always sends me stuff of people talking about how good Lil Pump is. He
Bro,
hates,
Lil Pump is trash.
Hates
Shout
Lil
out
Pump.
To Lil Pump. I hope he hears this.
No, but See, it's the same thing with what you just said about Fetty Wap. His beats are nasty. If you look, take away the lyrics, take away the writing, his beats are gross.
Yeah,
every single one of them. Like, you're going to bump to every one of them, but his bars don't get it done. You're
and that's
right.
been the problem with a lot of Eminem's albums. It's just the music sometimes just lags behind. People can't,
right.
people don't find it catchy. They're just like, but I promise you, he's a better rapper than you.
True.
I promise you that he'll beat you in freestyle. Have you ever heard
time.
The 50 Cent interview where they asked 50 Cent, like, if Eminem freestyled, what rapper could compete against him? He's like, you know, much respect to all those other rappers, but you put M against anybody, line him up, and he'll eat them alive.
Oh, I agree.
He'll eat them alive.
The only rapper that comes anywhere near him, Earl Sweatshirt. You would not ever,
Kendrick.
Nobody thinks of it. See, I disagree. If you listen to, don't get me wrong, writing bar for bar, Kendrick, top three. But he's
Kendrick's
number three.
Good.
But
really?
He's number
Kendrick
three.
Is cold.
And number two is Earl Sweatshirt, simply because if I'm a huge Odd Future fan. I've been a fan for years since they said things that most people would cringe at
makes
back
sense.
In the day. But Earl Sweatshirt in the song Oldie. Oldie is a song where every member of Odd Future gets their own verse and they just go
they
for
go
it for like
it.
2 minutes.
Yeah.
And Earl's it, for those 2 minutes, every single word rhymes with another word. It's unbelievable. It's a 3.5 minute verse.
It's not just about rhymes, though. It's about meaning.
Oh,
so,
I totally
so
agree.
Eminem,
I
like,
totally agree. And that's why
yeah, one of the
Earl
simplest
is
examples.
Never going to be better than Eminem
yeah.
because his bars are phenomenal, but they don't mean the same things as M does.
Yeah,
I'm about to lose
like,
it.
Like, listen, the one Eminem lyric, the one Eminem lyric that is. It's not even the most complex, but it's the one that just stands out. It's the first one I ever heard where I was like, okay, this guy knows a lot more. Like, I watch her leave out the window. I call that window pain.
Yes.
Like, listen.
That whole song,
that
man.
Should just stir
that
you.
That whole song.
Because it just connects. Every word
yeah.
in that connects. And then the word pain, it's multiple meanings.
Right.
No person has ever been so good at manipulating the English language. But Kendrick's up there, and he's a great rapper. J. Cole's up there. He's a great rapper. Like,
what's your opinion on Drake?
I like Drake.
Now,
I enjoy his music.
Do you think Drake can get in lyrically? Because some people think that he can and some people think that he can't. I'll give examples.
I think I listen to songs. I think they're pretty decent bars. Do I know that he wrote them? I don't know.
Ooh,
but like,
now we're getting into some Quentin Miller stuff.
But I've also heard his freestyle and him and whatever that other dude's name.
Meek?
Meek's. Meek's still around. But like, kind of embarrassed Meek because
he did.
Back to back was
cold.
And then what'd he say? Who was Meek dating at the time?
Nikki.
He said in the song, he was like, don't come like crying to me once she says you're there just friends or some lyric like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, and he
and then
said.
She said that like 6 months later.
Literally. Like
when you're dropping predictions and they're coming right, I don't know how you can argue.
And then he said something like, I didn't know that your girl's tour was your world tour or something like
or
that.
Like.
The entire back-to-back
it's not
back
a world tour, it's
is
a,
the
it's your
best.
Tour.
Yeah, she was leading
heard,
that thing
and
off.
Agree.
And
back-to-back is it.
Back-to-back is good. I enjoyed Killshot. People hated on it.
Bro,
but
that thing was crazy. I sat there and just, like, died to that thing. I'm like.
Yeah, it's awesome. And people just want to hate on the best. I think that's a lot of our society. It's a lot of jealousy. It's a lot of hating on the best. It's a lot of they have something I don't, and I want to take it away.
Right.
Which is not fair. But that doesn't mean, like, we shouldn't idolize everybody that has success. Idolize your own life. Prioritize yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're happy, you know, don't worry about other people. See, Jared's getting this camera up for, like, the last 5 seconds of the podcast, essentially.
It's okay.
We're running out of time.
Are
Keegan,
we?
it's been a lot of fun, man.
It has. We're going to have to do
is
this
there,
again.
Is there anything else you want to talk about? Anything else you want to touch on here at the end of the show?
I want to shout out to all my boys that they keep me going. I mean, I'll shout them out. Chapo, Donnie, Gib, Reese, Ethan, KB, and then Mama. Mama's
see, this is
in
like
the
Oscars. He's going to forget somebody.
Nah, I don't. I didn't forget anybody.
And then Mama.
Nobody.
Your mom and you are close, right?
Yes, my mom is a champ.
Why? What makes her a champ?
She just like, she always has something going on, and she seems to always make time for like me and my family and like.
So let me tell you a story, and you tell me if this is your mom.
Yeah.
So there was this guy crossed Antarctica. He was on Joe Rogan's podcast, right?
First off, I want to know who this dude is.
He walked across Antarctica with a 375-pound sled on his back that carried all of his equipment so he could camp and eat. So he walked across Antarctica. A couple years before he crossed Antarctica, he was in Thailand, I believe.
Okay.
And he had severe burning and scars on his legs because he got caught in a fire jump rope. And he was told he would never walk again. And he says he remembers hearing his mom sobbing in the hallway. Unbelievable. My son's never going to walk again. And then she'd walk in the room, cheery-eyed, said, so what are you going to do when you start walking? Every day.
That would be my mom.
That would be your mom.
That would be my mom. That's crazy.
So when I heard that.
That's funny, man.
When I heard that, I was moved to tears because that's exactly what my mom would do.
Mm-hmm.
So if you got a mom like that, that's special, man.
It is.
That's special.
And like my dad is great too, man. Like he just makes sure I have anything and everything. Both of my parents are great. But like there's something about my mom. I mean, I like live with her most of the time, so I'm seeing her a little bit more. But it's kind of like a work ethic thing that like I've been able to especially pull from recently with like me being in like this whole recruiting thing, like, you know, just trying to be good for the next level. And I don't know, being able to pull from that and see all the things, like she's always working to better herself. Like she started off at her school as like a tech teacher and then went from that to like tech coordinator and then from that to like the principal, and now she's the superintendent. So like working her way up, that's kind of what I want to do essentially, like in my life, is be able to work myself up. So I don't know, it's dope.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. And you have this whole field, like that love, you always know she's there.
True.
And that just kind of is security, you know,
for real.
And like, you know, I think you're a mama's boy, and I think I'm a mama's boy too, but I think mama's boys are pretty cool. I think mama's boys are pretty cool. Jared, you mama's boy?
Oh yeah, I call my mom almost every day.
I would like to think I'm pretty dope.
Well, I mean, I hope she doesn't hear this podcast, Jared. You dropped some real expletives there back there.
Oh, you're that's getting fired. That's
yeah, right. Bro. Wow. No, I promise you, my mom has probably heard me say some rough things.
It's okay.
No, playing Call of Duty, it comes out. It flows.
It's rage. I mean, it's a competition.
It is absolute rage.
Do you know that they say esports by 2020, which is not that far, will be
that's
worth
my grad year.
Will
year?
Be worth $1.4 billion.
I've heard it,
did
man.
You know, 37% of college students have watched an esports event, while only 23% have watched a traditional college football game.
That's
so,
wow. Moving.
It's coming.
It's moving.
It's coming, and it's coming quick. I wish we had time to get into esports, but
okay, man.
We got another show. Jared's got his debut on Power 105 tonight.
Woo, 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 woo.
Celebrating. Yes, sir. And, like, these videos are very hard to post. Once
this is not the end. I'm coming on here again. If I have to beg you for it, if I have to annoy the absolute piss out of you, I'm coming back on here.
We're actually going to start doing two shows a week, so another show Friday.
Dope.
Allie Springer is coming on the podcast. She's my roommate.
Oh.
And we're going to get into some really fun topics and just see where that goes. Because, honestly, I love you, but I'm tired of some. It's too many dudes on the podcast.
You know what? Get some diversity in here.
Yes, we need a lot more diversity on the podcast. Diversity of ideas. I'm going to try to line up a couple professors as well.
That'd be crazy.
Try to get into really some intellectual conversations where we're not laughing and talking.
I have to clean up our language a little bit.
Oh yeah.
No, I want to see a professor go in. Just like
I want. If I can get a professor to cuss on this, I should get $100,000. No, I'm just kidding.
That is.
It depends.
But listen, I've heard professors
you could pick some.
Cats.
Oh yeah.
What about
you could pick some right professors, and that wouldn't be that difficult.
Yeah. I'm thinking like a psychologist professor, like somebody that's teaching psychology or like sociology, something like that. Because like I feel like they just have a really great understanding for like the human mind and just like how everything works. I don't know. I feel like those people could really just mess you up like that.
Yeah. I can't wait for this show to keep going. I'm glad that you were a part of the episode. I'm glad
I appreciate it, man. Thank
you. Came on. You admitted you were a moron, and we had a conversation.
I am a moron.
Hey, go Bobcats, baby. Go Bobcats.
Go Bobbies.
We'll see you guys next week.